Welcome to the evening service, midweek service of Providence Reformed Baptist Church. Let's open with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessing of being able to gather together midweek. Thank you that you hear the cry of your people. Thank you that you are available to us. We do bless you for this gathering here this evening, and ask you that you will enable prayer, that you would hear us, that you would uphold us in prayer, that you would come and provide for us as your people, not only here, but around this nation, around the world, as your people gather middle of the week. We do ask you that you would refresh us with your presence in Christ's name. Amen. You turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I'd just like to look at the beginning of this psalm and make some comments on it. Okay, so we're going to look at kind of Psalm 27. Really, in light of the first verse. Now, one thing that has been striking me in reading through the Psalms, and let me note, this is not obviously a mandate, but one thing I try to do is read a Psalm before I get up in the morning, so that it becomes the first thing that I do in the day. And I do find that it helps to set a tone for the day. And just a thing. Of course, I'm reading through the Psalms at all times, so I have today's Psalm that I would read. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that very, very often, especially if it's a Psalm of David, I used to think that the topic of the psalm was hard to discern. And more recently, I've noticed that the topic of the psalm is actually not hard to discern if you discern it, because David gives it usually at the very beginning of the psalm. But you have to be aware of kind of what he's saying. And one way to note that is that he will repeat pieces of that throughout the remainder of the psalm, and you note kind of how it comes back. Well, that was what he was thinking of. So David's psalms are not stream of consciousness by any means, if that's the case, because He has thought it out, and then he gives you basically a preface at the very beginning, and then unfolds it. So it's not like he's thinking and things come out. No, he's already thought about it, and then he gives you this pithy beginning. And Psalm 27 is like that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And it's not a short psalm, and so I'm not going to try to read it all. It's not too long, but it's long enough that I don't want to try to read it. So the Lord is my... This is the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And he goes on. There's a second half to the first verse. But I wanted to pick up on this theme and talk about it a little bit. So first of all, light and salvation. And it particularly struck me that in a sense, these are the two themes of the Christian life. And if we attempt to separate them in any way, we are in terrible difficulty. Light, salvation. Light is truth and holiness. light says that God is and God communicates. And what he communicates is himself in reality. And salvation, of course, we have great need of salvation. And some people kind of gravitate to a knowledge about God, or some others gravitate to, well, what I need from God. And so salvation becomes that which they focus on in a hanging on to God kind of way. And here we have those two together. And we have great need to have both of those in our hearts and our lives. The salvation here is particularly poignant because it's given to us in the psalm in kind of almost in physical fashion. Although salvation is almost always in the Old Testament physical but spiritual. It's like redemption from Egypt. It's clearly a picture of spiritual salvation, but you know, they were saved from being slaves. It was a physical thing, but it's seen in very spiritual terms. He says, I have enemies who want to, and he just uses this phrase, devour my flesh. It is a horrible thought, but that's where the spiritual part of it comes in. Satan wants us desperately. And that shows the nature of salvation. It is, we have a need for a salvation to the uttermost. And we have a need for a full reliance on God for that salvation. And that is what is being expressed by David in this psalm. So the themes here are light and salvation. What do we do with that? We have these two large themes. What I wanted to speak of is that having announced his themes, and they're huge, he doesn't just kind of say, okay, I've got it. Your light and your salvation, everything's fine now. There is an ongoingness about that which David describes in the remainder of the psalm, although he's still talking about light and salvation. But in the remainder of this psalm, it's couched now in the context of seeking. Well, how can it be that if I have God's light and God's salvation, that I am still in the position of seeking? But that's exactly what David describes for himself. If you have your Bible open, look at verse 4. I'm just going to read this verse. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So this light and salvation that God is to him has become this seeking to be with, and may I say, to know God. And so it's not a present, I've got it, per se. It's an ongoing seeking and seeking God himself. You know, if this was a person, another human being, and we started off by saying, well, this is light and salvation, And you know, like lovers say to one another, I found my soulmate. You certainly would not say of that soulmate, I know all about them. Because that would be a dismissive statement. You know, I know what they're going to do in every situation. I know who they are, so much so that I kind of don't need to attend to them anymore because I know them so well. See, and that's just a human being, much less of God. So David is not there. He has this light and salvation, but it does not cause him to just kind of rest on his laurels, so to speak. In the knowledge of God himself, who is light, or his salvation, which is what he provides for us that we so desperately need. It's easy for us, though, to use God's word in that way. We can just kind of categorize the pieces of his word. Oh, that's God's wisdom. That's God's justification. And we think because we put the Bible verses into the proper pigeonholes that we've now done the right thing. But that's certainly not what David is doing here. He desires, like a connoisseur of beauty, to stand and drink it in, and not only to drink it in, but to suck it in a sense of learning about, enjoying, and I don't put that in a low sense, but in a high sense. And so when David says, what I really want to do is be with and to learn more about, he uses the term seek multiple times. So how can we both have and seek? Well, we see this all in the Psalms, in Psalm 36, in the psalmist says, well, in your light we see light. In your light we see light. And John says it's something like this. He says, you have an anointing, you know all things. He's not saying you already know all things. He's saying you have been made alive so that you can now know God in a way that you were absolutely shut out from knowing before. So the new birth that's been given is like the key to a door, I mean to a room. You open the door, but you just because you've opened the door doesn't mean you know all the contents of that room. We have the ability to see, and what John is primarily saying is to judge between that which is right and that which is spurious. But to say, well, I know all there is to know about God, that's why David's saying he is still seeking. And it's not an exact knowledge that we gain. It's a personal knowledge. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, he says, everyone has knowledge. Just mere knowledge puffs up, he says. But if you think you know anything, he says, you don't know anything like you ought to know. And that's this sense. I know that God is light, but I'm still pursuing Him Himself. This is the seeking that David has done. This is a seeking that we need to be doing as those who have been given new hearts. And where I was going here tonight, at least, and there's more than one modality, you could say, of this seeking. but in his word is first of all where we seek God. This is an invitation to know God in this psalm, to know him in his word reverently, prayerfully, personally. I mean, so often we just say, well, I need to get that which is needful for me today, or I need to learn some more stuff up here. But what are we made for? We're made for God, first of all. So if he himself is the object of my seeking, not things about him in that sense, but he himself, then everything else comes. I think that's where David is. He says, I just want to be in your temple and come to know you better. So this light and salvation is necessary for us. It's that which we not only have, but it is that which we are growing in. So what is it useful for us? Well, it's healthy for us, besides being that which we're made for. It's like vitamin D for spiritual health. It grants us, and that's why I started with this, read the psalm first thing in the morning. It is helpful for a healthy outlook. The more we take in of God's word in a good sense, may I say, as Paul says in Colossians, to have the word dwell in us richly. When there are onslaughts from Satan, it's kind of a measure for us, the intake of the word, we have that to answer Satan. And I don't mean that in a mechanical sense. I mean that there is a spiritual vitality, a reboundness in those onslaughts.
Here's what I felt. I pushed a button, sorry.
Right. And lastly, there is an increased confidence in the Lord. And I'm sure all these are connected. And that is shown here in this psalm, verse 10. And David is speaking about seeking the Lord. And he's in dire straits. And then right in the middle, he says, well, you know, when my father and my mother forsake me, you'll take me up. Well, if his father and mother forsake him, you know, especially when he was on the run from Saul, it's the sense that he's just totally bereft. But what he's able to say, and this is this spiritual health, this confidence in the Lord, this, well, I can stand alone with God's aid where I am. And we all have great need of that. We tend to, you know, psychologically, to kind of glom onto our surroundings and hang on to them. And healthiness, spiritual health, says, I stand. Like Luther, I stand. And the word is central to that situation. So there is a seeking of God from the position of who he is and what he's made us in Christ that is most needful. Let's close this piece of this session with prayer.